It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News Team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Bill Price. Impeachment trial starts next week.
What we all want is a fair process.
That is our top story at noon today. The U.S. House expected to vote tomorrow on a resolution naming impeachment managers. Those managers will prosecute the case against President Trump in a Senate trial. That trial, scheduled to start next Tuesday.
There are not enough votes in the Senate to swiftly end a trial. And increasingly, the president's legal team believes there is enough support in the Senate to have witnesses testify. The White House now expects at least four Republicans, maybe more, will vote to hear testimony.
That's Stephen Portnoy at the White House this afternoon. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi announcing today she will send the impeachment articles against the president to the Senate tomorrow. A new study by the Media Research Center, meantime, shows 93% of the network news coverage of President Trump is negative. The big three evening newscasts, ABC, NBC, and CBS, have spent three-quarters of their coverage on the impeachment. Deputy White House Press Secretary Hogan Gidley says he knows why.
Just to try and smear this president because they know they can't beat him at the ballot box. And I'm well aware it is difficult to run against somebody who has a booming economy, who's destroyed the ISIS caliphate, who's taking out terrorists right and left across this globe. But that's no reason to try and overturn a free and fair election just because you hate the president and don't like the fact he's so successful.
Now, the study shows less than 10% of the network news coverage today deals with the U.S. economy. The president will hold a Keep America Great Again rally tonight. Gonna happen in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. It's gonna be inside the University of Wisconsin Arena. It gets underway at 8 o'clock tonight. The president won Wisconsin by 23,000 votes in the 2016 election. Sanders versus Warren. That is the other big story at noon.
The partnership on display at previous debates might now be a thing of the past.
Ahead of tonight's final debate before the Iowa caucuses, a political fight has broken out between the top two contenders. Here's correspondent Steve Futterman.
A private conversation between Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren has suddenly become, at least for the moment, a key issue in the race among Democrats. Warren claims that in 2018, Sanders told her he did not believe Democrats could win the White House with a woman nominee. Sanders calls the claim ludicrous, but it's sure to come up during tonight's debate. During the past week, the two candidates have been sniping at each other, Warren complaining about Sanders' campaign tactics.
I hope Bernie reconsiders and turns his campaign in a different direction.
Sanders denying doing anything wrong.
I have never said a negative word about Elizabeth Warren, who is a friend of mine.
We will see just how friendly they are tonight. On stage.
Steve Futterman reporting the debate tonight from Des Moines starts at 9 o'clock, and you can catch it on CNN. Iran has started arresting people after shooting down a passenger plane by mistake last week. It happened as the regime was firing missiles at U.S. targets in Iraq. The commander of U.S. forces in Baghdad says there are no words to describe how much of a bullet America dodged.
I think we're beyond lucky for the way things turned out.
40 U.S. soldiers were able to escape the barrage of missiles. The stepped-up hostilities came in the aftermath of the droning to death of Iranian General Qassem Soleimani. Democrats, meantime, are casting doubts today on the intelligence President Trump relied on to justify that attack. Conservative commentator Ben Shapiro says that's unfair.
The question as to whether there was any imminent attack is basically irrelevant. If you're a terrorist for a living, what you do is pursue terror attacks. And so this bizarre notion that you have to have the date, time, and place of a terror attack on a list in order to kill a terrorist is just silly town.
Meantime, the protests continue for a fourth straight day against the Iranian regime. Demonstrators are angry that they were lied to by their government. Many also seem emboldened by the death of Soleimani, who's viewed by many in Iran as a murderous tyrant. Major League Baseball coming down hard on the Houston Astros for the sign-stealing scandal that came during the team's World Series win 2 years ago. Here's correspondent Manuel Vajorquez.
After Major League Baseball suspended two of the team's leaders, manager A.J. Hinch and general manager Jeff Luhnow, Astros owner Jim Crane made the decision to fire them both.
Neither one of them started this, but neither one of them did anything about it.
During home games, the Astros positioned a camera in center field. That camera would film signals given by the opposing team's catcher about what pitch the pitcher should throw. That camera feed was transmitted live into the Astros dugout, where a player would allegedly be watching the feed with a baseball bat and trash can. That loud banging you hear would allegedly signal to the Astros batter what pitch would be coming next, seemingly making it easier to hit the ball.
That's Manuel Vajorquez reporting. A wild night in New Orleans as LSU celebrated a big win in the college football playoff national championship game. The Tigers knocked off Clemson in front of a Superdome crowd that included President Trump and the First Lady. Still to come this Tuesday, a suicide report in Pennsylvania. No snow on local ski slopes. And safe to say, 1 year later.
Good afternoon. We're looking at a fairly drab day with a spot of rain here and there. Not much more than that, but winter lurks down the road. Forecast details coming up. See you in 10 minutes.
Okay, Kevin Williams checking the stories, making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania Tuesday, January 14th. Well, the lack of snow taking its toll on area ski resorts.
People always look in their backyard wanting to see snow, and they haven't seen it, which affects people coming in the door here.
John Goodfellow at Four Seasons in Fayetteville, New York, says a January thaw has melted the snow and the traffic at the slopes this winter.
Our hardest part here is convincing people that we do have snow and that we make it. So the one snowmaker you see right in the middle, I just bought that last year to get through these warm periods of time. Another 12 hours or so of cold weather, we can recover those bare spots and be back in business.
A return to more seasonal weather later this week should help those local ski resorts who are suffering from the mild winter. A raucous rally in Albany today to show support for laid-off school teachers in Rochester. Nearly 100 jobs were axed around the holidays because of a budget deficit. The Rochester Teachers Union pounding the pavement at the state legislature today, demanding that those jobs be restored. A judge in Rochester has rejected calls from New York Republicans to force a special election sooner rather than later to fill the vacant 27th District Congressional seat out of Western New York. State Senator Chris Jacobs is campaigning for that seat.
The governor did this for a reason, to skew turnout to the favor of the Democrat. But personally, I'm certainly prepared for that. We have a campaign ready to go to be able to do what we need to do to make sure that this district, which is a Republican district, stays in Republican hands.
The seat was vacated by the resignation of Congressman Chris Collins in September. The special election will happen on the same day as the New York Democratic primary. That's April 28th. The head of Syracuse University is now committing millions of dollars to combat hate crimes on campus. Family Life's Jeremy Miller.
Chancellor Kent Siverud says the university is launching a new program to increase diversity among faculty. More than $5.5 million will be invested in inclusion initiatives, including 16 new hires. Siverud also says the university will review security footage every day to stay on top of any issues. Jeremy Miller, Family Life News.
Thank you, Jeremy. Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf has taken the wraps off a preliminary report that was done by the state Suicide Prevention Task Force. That report was compiled following 10 statewide listening tours this past fall. Over the past 20 years, the suicide rate in the state of Pennsylvania has soared by 34%. The country's highest court has rejected the appeal of Pennsylvania cop killer Eric Freen. Here's Family Life's Brandon Dixon.
The 36-year-old claimed his right to counsel during his questioning after his capture was violated. The U.S. Supreme Court disagreed, upholding both his conviction and death sentence for the ambush of two state troopers outside their police barracks in Pike County in 2014. Eric Freen was found guilty of shooting and killing Corporal Brian Dixon and severely injuring Trooper Alex Douglas. He led authorities on a 48-day manhunt through the Poconos before U.S. Marshals caught him in an abandoned airplane hangar. Eric Freen is now on death row at the state prison in Greene County in the southwest corner of the state. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
Thank you, Brandon. Two men from Salamanca, New York, have been charged with murder after a 38-year-old man was found dead inside a building on Waite Avenue in the city. Police say 35-year-old Jeremiah Desjarlais and 31-year-old Derek Marsh, both facing second-degree murder charges, both men in the city lockup in Salamanca. Pennsylvania's Attorney General meeting with lawmakers in Harrisburg to come up with a game plan to prevent folks from taking advantage of the state's Medicaid program. Here's Family Life's Terry Diener.
Pennsylvania's medical assistance program is the third largest in the nation. Last year, a grand jury found systemic issues within the program that have allowed certain care providers to bill for services that they did not deliver to people who rely on the program. A bipartisan group of lawmakers from the House and Senate are proposing a package of bills to reform how services are provided. Terry Diener, Family Life News.
Thank you, Terry. Reining in the soaring cost of prescription pills. That is the aim behind the new Prescription Drug Affordability Board in Pennsylvania. Pittsburgh area Democrat Dan Frankel.
Pharmaceutical companies should not be allowed to set their own prices without any state oversight. Prices for brand name drugs are increasing year over year, well beyond inflation.
Frankel says the board would act the same way as the state's Public Utilities Commission by setting limits on drug costs and keeping tabs on pharmaceutical companies. For one local family, the oversight is overdue. Bill Leachman from Mechanicsburg says his last pharmacy visit wasn't just over the counter, it was over the top.
He said $700 and something, and I'm like, whoa.
$700 for medication his son William has been on for months.
Oh, it's like, well, can we get this or do we buy some groceries? What do we do here?
The one thing I need the most is insulin to stay alive.
Both father and son sharing their story at yesterday's press conference in Harrisburg. Representative Frankel says one in five Pennsylvanians today do not fill their prescriptions because of the cost, and one in six skip their doses or cut them in half so they last longer. Starting tomorrow, adults who were adopted as kids in New York will be allowed to request a copy of their original birth certificate. Family Life's Bob Price.
Yeah, effective Wednesday, January 15th, people over the age of 18 will be able to learn information about their birth and biological parents. Previously, applicants have had to put their requests before a judge. Advocates have fought for this change for over 20 years in New York. Now, requests about information on birth parents will be processed through the New York State Department of Health. Bob Price, Family Life News.
Thank you, Bob. The Safe to Say program in Pennsylvania celebrating its one-year anniversary. The website and the app allows students to submit anonymous tips about anything suspicious.
Safe to Say is here for our kids to save their lives, which we have done by working together.
State Attorney General Josh Shapiro says over 40,000 tips have come in the past year. He says the bulk of those were not school violence, rather mental health.
Bullying, self-harm, suicidal intentions, depression, and anxiety were the top five categories that these 40,000 tips fall into.
Shapiro says the Safe to Say program proves that every single school in the state of Pennsylvania should have a mental health counselor in it. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo spending a couple of days in Puerto Rico as the island continues to recover from a series of devastating earthquakes.
We'll take a helicopter tour over the island to assess the damage, and our point is going to be any way we can help, what do you need in terms of health resources, structural engineers, power supply, emergency responses.
Cuomo says many parts of Puerto Rico have yet to recover from Hurricane Maria 2 years ago.
Puerto Rico is part of the United States. We feel this especially deeply, being New Yorkers. Family is in trouble, and what do we do when a family member is in trouble? We come together, we pull together.
President Trump declared a state of emergency in Puerto Rico just last week. College football has a new national champion. It is Sunny Time, your two-minute drill.
Yeah, the national championship game turned out to be the Joe Burrow Show.
Now Burrow going to launch downfield for Chase. Who's got it? Burrow looking to run, escapes, he scores.
Burrow from the pocket, launches to the end zone, caught!
gets it out quickly. Touchdown! Thaddeus Moss just standing still. Burrow backpedals, flips it far side. Catch made. Moss! Touchdown for a second time. Burrow's got time. Launching for the end zone. Jump ball. Touchdown. Terrence Marshall.
Burrow passing for 463 yards. Five touchdowns. Also ran for a score. Number one LSU crushing Clemson 42-25. Impressing his head coach, Ed Orgeron.
This team is going to be mentioned as one of the greatest teams in college football history. One of the greatest teams in LSU history. Led by some of the greatest players. Give them all the credit.
LSU finished 15-0 to claim their first title since 2007. Clemson, at their 29-game winning streak, snapped to end the season at 14-1. Head coach Dabo Sweeney.
I thought they played a heck of a game and deserved to win the game. Definitely the better team tonight for sure. So I'm really happy for Coach O. I think he's one of the good guys in the business.
The other top story, after Major League Baseball found that the 2017 Houston Astros stole signs, they suspended general manager Jeff Luhnow and manager A.J. Hinch for the entire 2020 season. The Astros went one step further and fired them. NBC's Dan Shineman.
The commissioner hinted that current Red Sox manager Alex Cora developed the sign-stealing system when he was a coach in Houston. The Red Sox, who won the World Series in 2018 in Cora's first season as manager, are now under investigation.
So does this taint the 2017 World Series championship for the Astros? Owner Jim Crane.
I don't think it taints it.
They beat the Los Angeles Dodgers in that series, and those fans may disagree. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Dolphiet.
Interesting. Thank you, Sonny. Still to come on this Tuesday edition of the Noon Report, debate night from Des Moines. Impeachment trial starts next week, and Nick Wallenda at it again.
Can a Christian suffer well, even if no one, including movie critics, understand why? For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. A substantial part of Terrence Malick's latest movie, A Hidden Life, takes place in a German prison, where the film's protagonist, a real historical figure now considered a Catholic saint, Franz Jägerstätter, is being held in prison for refusing to swear a loyalty oath to Hitler. As he mills about the prison yard with his fellow inmates, two words loom large on the stone wall that fences them in. Sprechen verboten, speaking prohibited. Rod Dreher, senior editor at the American Conservative, has called A Hidden Life the best evocation of the gospel ever put to film. Now, that's a serious claim to make, and I might agree. Malick, a director known for transportive cinematography, takes viewers into the remote Austrian village of St. Radegund in the early 1940s. There, Franz, his wife Fanny, and their three small daughters faithfully farm their land and faithfully attend the local Catholic church. When Franz hears about Hitler's conquest, he begins to worry. His worst fears are realized when he's called up for military service, but refuses to swear the required oath to the Führer. Ultimately, Franz Jägerstätter was imprisoned, tortured, and ultimately executed. Not only does the film powerfully portray the suffering Franz is forced to endure, but also how his decision to refuse the oath baffles nearly everyone around him. Apparently, it's a decision that still baffles people today, especially film critics. Before his imprisonment, Franz seeks counsel from his local priest and eventually his bishop. Both warn what his obstinance might bring to bear on his vulnerable family. Even so, Franz holds fast to his faith, and his wife holds fast to hers. Given the central role that faith plays in the film, one might expect it to be a bit more preachy. In fact, there's very little dialogue, preaching or otherwise, in the whole three-hour film. Thus, in this film, the gospel's power and Franz's faith is mostly shown, not spoken. Perhaps that's why certain secular critics miss the obvious here. Franz doesn't give a theological lecture on the historicity of the resurrection or virtue signal via rousing testimony about his own moral courage. His is a quiet faithfulness, first shown by how he works his farm, trusting God for harvest, and eventually shown as he follows his conscience, which for some reason just won't allow him to say those words of that oath that's required. Franz faces every temptation to compromise. What if, Franz's lawyer asks him, he could serve as a medic? What if he didn't have to carry arms? Would that solve the problem? Well, Franz's final answer is finally put into words in a powerful scene where a Nazi officer, not unlike Pontius Pilate questioning Jesus, asks why he's doing this. Franz's answer? I don't know. I just know that something inside me tells me I can't swear that oath. That's the Christian life. Everyday faithfulness to whatever the Holy Spirit is asking of us. Now, will his defiance change the course of the war? Will it bring down Hitler? Probably not. Will it endanger him and his family? Definitely yes. But God doesn't call us to the results. Those are always and everywhere his. God calls us to obedience, even if it's hidden. I cannot say that Franz's decision is prescriptive for everyone else. The key is that Franz must follow God's call on his own life. In an early scene, Franz tells a frightened fellow inmate to, quote, trust what you knew in better times. If we, like Franz, would build a solid foundation for faith in better times, we would have better ears to hear what God would have us do in the midst of our trials. This film will give you lots to think about and lots to talk about. Please know that it contains some violence and the subject matter is obviously intense. But even so, I recommend A Hidden Life heartily. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
20 minutes past the hour. Let's take it outside. Kevin Williams.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. A fairly moist airflow at the lower levels of the atmosphere will keep us fairly cloudy the next couple days, but with only very spotty precipitation. We are looking at a disturbance coming in from the upper Midwest, though. That'll deliver a little snow here on Thursday. And a more robust system could bring probable snow to the region heading into the start of the weekend. In the meantime, for this afternoon, rather cloudy, a couple of light showers and sprinkles around. High temperatures mainly in the 40s. Stubborn cloudiness will linger tonight and tomorrow with limited sunny breaks tomorrow. We drop into the 30s tonight, the high tomorrow in the 40s. There'll be a few rain showers tomorrow night. Blustery colder Thursday with some snow and flurries and temperatures falling into, if not through, the 30s.
Okay, Kevin, if you're just joining us, here are some of the stories we're following for you today, Tuesday, January 14th. Debate night in Des Moines. Six Democratic White House hopefuls will square off tonight in Iowa for the last debate before the caucuses there. All eyes in the Hawkeye State will be on Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren tonight. The two progressives in the race are at odds over reports that Sanders told Warren a woman could never be president.
I hope Bernie reconsiders and turns his campaign in a different direction.
I have never said a negative word about Elizabeth Warren, who is a friend of mine.
Sanders denies he ever made the controversial remarks in a private meeting with Warren 2 years ago. Tonight's debate starts at 9 o'clock on CNN. President Trump's impeachment trial in the U.S. Senate expected to start next Tuesday.
There's nothing here. This is a crimeless impeachment.
That's Republican pundit Matt Schlapp. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi announcing today she'll send the impeachment articles against the president to the Senate tomorrow. Democratic strategist Capri Caffaro.
This should not be about politics. This is a real legal process.
House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy said today that absolutely nothing was gained by Speaker Pelosi's decision to hold on to those articles for nearly a month. The president will hold a Keep America Great Again rally tonight in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. It'll happen inside the University of Wisconsin Arena. Start time, 8 o'clock. The president won Wisconsin by 23,000 votes in the 2016 election. Iran claims it's made arrests in the wake of the mistaken shootdown of the Ukrainian passenger jet last week. Here's Mideast expert Ian Lee.
President Hassan Rouhani said the whole world is watching. There has to be an open investigation. That could be difficult because the IRGC, which only answers to the supreme leader, shot down this plane. They are the ones that are carrying out this investigation, and they are notoriously a secretive organization.
176 people were killed when that plane was shot down. The fires in Australia threatening this year's Australian Open. A player in a qualifying match dropped to her knees in a coughing fit as smoke from the brush fires filled the air in Melbourne. The city has issued continuous public health warnings, but that hasn't stopped the matches at the first Grand Slam event of the year. 24 minutes past the hour. You're plugged into the Noon Report on Family Life. Edition of Hometown Heroes on Family Life. I'm your host, Bill Price. Our guest this week, Caitlin Meath from Canandaigua, New York. She's a former addict who's now helping others break free from their chains.
So I started
started with alcohol in high school, and it was sort of what I like to refer to as escapism. At first, it was just kind of joining the crowd on weekends, and then eventually it became more of a medication for me, and it was a way that I was really fleeing from the wounds and the hurt inside. And then I eventually found my way to drugs, some pretty hard drugs, which just provided that essence of more. It gave me that more elusive feeling, more numbness. And then eventually it wasn't fun anymore. Mm-hmm. And it really owned me and mm-hmm. swallowed me whole. It was almost like this beast that I didn't quite know I was getting into. And I don't know quite when that turn happened, but it was more of it became a maintenance thing. Like my body physically needed it to survive, to even get out of bed, to feed my daughter. I needed to have these substances in my system. And when you talk about what it cost me, oh gosh, there was a good decade there where it was just a roller coaster. You know, it definitely cost me relationships, especially with my now 8-year-old daughter. I did lose custody of her in 2014 because of my use and my drinking and driving, and just very inappropriate situations that I put her in due to my lifestyle. I became homeless for quite a while and just kind of running around the streets of Rochester, bouncing around, arrested, detoxes, inpatients, suicide attempts. It led to some pretty life or death situations, in other words.
Yeah. Do you remember that moment, Caitlin, when the chains of addiction fell off? And share with us what that felt like.
I absolutely do. And for me, you know, some people say that they kind of had this moment where it just everything kind of aligned and they decided that they were going to do whatever it took to get and stay sober. Others say it was more of a natural progression. You know, it's different for everyone, but mine really was kind of like that lightning bolt thing from the sky. Mm. But it did take, now that I reflect on it, it took a certain combination of events to happen in order for me to even be willing to have that reckoning in a way. My daughter's father passed away of a drug overdose in 2017, which was really the exact same way my life was progressing. You know, one of us was going to die, if not both. Mm. So I sort of had this really like life was really shaking me. The universe was saying, you know, are you going to do this? Are you going to make it? Or not.
Yeah.
And when I looked in my daughter's eyes, I knew that I couldn't leave her parentless.
Sure. Your daughter saved your life in more ways than one.
She did. And now I have a little over 2 years of sobriety and follow a recovery program and pathway. And I would say she is like on those really still I have those dark days and I have those days where not necessarily that I want to give up, but everything just feels really tough and hard.
Yeah.
She's a light for me.
You're listening to Hometown Heroes on Family Life. Our guest this week, Caitlin Meath from Canandaigua, New York. And what are you doing now, Caitlin, to help others find hope, find healing, find comfort? You've been through it all. What do you tell them?
So at this point, I am a peer specialist, and I work at Connections Rounded Recovery, which is in Canandaigua, New York, and it's a recovery center intended for individuals living with substance use disorder and their impacted family and friends. We have an array of wellness activities, all free, no referral necessary. I also have the wonderful opportunity of speaking in yet another platform through 100 Proof Living Podcast, which has now gone to video for this new year of 2020. So just some really exciting things. I represent as a community ambassador for 100 Proof Living to try to bring that tie between, you know, that platform in reaching out to the public and also what I'm just doing kind of on the front lines in the community.
Yeah. What's your message to someone listening right now who's struggling with the very same things that you struggled with that nearly cost you your life? What would you say to that person?
One sentence that I live by is that pain is inevitable, but suffering is optional. We do not need to suffer, but there are still going to be those obstacles that is just life, you know, and figuring out how to navigate them, having gratitude just from, you know, the course that I've gone and having a better understanding of myself in general.
in New York, this week's Hometown Hero. Join us next week as we search for your home, your town, your hero. It's Hometown Heroes on Family Life. Hometown Heroes comes your way every Tuesday during the Noon Report. You can also find it online anytime at fln.org/podcasts.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. A fairly moist airflow at the lower levels of the atmosphere will keep us fairly cloudy the next couple days, but with only very spotty precipitation. We are looking at a disturbance coming in from the upper Midwest, though. That'll deliver a little snow here on Thursday. And a more robust system could bring probable snow to the region heading into the start of the weekend. In the meantime, for this afternoon, rather cloudy, a couple of light showers and sprinkles around. High temperatures mainly in the 40s. Stubborn cloudiness will linger tonight and tomorrow with limited sunny breaks tomorrow. We drop into the 30s tonight, the high tomorrow in the 40s. There'll be a few rain showers tomorrow night. Blustery colder Thursday with some snow and flurries and temperatures falling into, if not through, the 30s.
Thank you, Kevin. Finally at noon, Western New York's favorite daredevil has unveiled his next high wire stunt. Nick Walenda announcing today he'll walk the wire over an active volcano in Nicaragua in a couple of months.
I'm facing gases, sulfuric gases that are so thick that you can't breathe through them. So part of my training is training blindfolded because there is a great chance that I won't be able to see. In fact, on the set, we will have infrared cameras in case you can't see me with the naked eye during that walk.
That guy's crazy. Walenda has successfully walked a high wire over Niagara Falls, the Grand Canyon, and Times Square in New York City. But he says this by far is the most dangerous high wire stunt he's ever pursued. Nick Walenda's walk over the volcano will be broadcast live on ABC on March 4th at 8 p.m. That is the world we live in this Tuesday. As always, thanks for joining us. I'm Bill Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.